The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
I'm not just preaching. The Lord defined for me what I was going to do here, and I'm going to tell you what I do. Can you ask me, what do you do for a living? I'm an announcer. I'm a duty continuity announcer in the radio station of FMLR. My job is to announce the presenter, the person that will come to present, so that I can tell you and announce to you the array of programs and the people we're going to be having in this radio station these 7 days. It's called FMLR. It's the frequency modulation of Eli himself. No other person broadcast on that station, on that frequency. It's not very high frequency. It's not VHF. It's not ultra high frequency. It's not UHF. It is Eli frequency modulation. So I'm so honored to be a duty continuity announcer, just to connect one point to another and take my seat. That is what I'm doing tonight. And so you don't expect a duty continuity announcer to take over the program and be presenting himself. He said, now we are going to invite our guests. Before our guest comes up, this is what our guest wants to see, and you are seeing it. They will chase you out of the place. So I'm going to do my job in a very short time and make announcements that God has steered in my heart concerning this day. Hallelujah. As I sat down there, of course, a lot of thoughts will be colliding in your head, but I want to rest on the Lord. You know, I remember the words of Jesus that the Bible says, God preached the gospel unto Abraham. And I've been wondering, it just occurred to me tonight, that particular place where God preached the gospel to Abraham. And that place is Genesis 15. He said, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him through a vision, saying, Abraham, fear not, I am thy shield. When you go to Ephesians, when you run to Ephesians 6, what is associated with shield in Ephesians? Shield of faith. Hallelujah. He said, and thy exceeding great reward. He could have just said, I am thy shield and thy reward. He actually said that. But he connected the first, then he went to the last. The in-between, he didn't really talk about, but he mentioned it in that scripture. This was the place God preached the gospel to Abraham, because this is the gospel. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Exceeding, that which goes above the highest. God is called the one who is higher than the highest. Higher than the highest. Now, great reward. You remember, so great salvation. Salvation is great. Salvation is so great. It talks about the degree, the depth. The soul talks about the degree, the depth of salvation. Why the great talks about the height of salvation. And that is why Jesus had to compass both two levels. He that ascended is the first that descended. Where? To the lower parts of the heart. The same person ascended. So he connects both them. Hallelujah. So that he can bring salvation to us. You see, that reward is eternal life. So the end of faith is that man may get eternal life. That is the end of faith. Hallelujah. Now, the beginning of faith is coming into the awareness of the person of Christ. Not just believing in Jesus. That's what I've said. do not allow what you have known so far to debar you of the blessings that great servants of God will bring to us. Because when we think we know, we do not know as we ought to know. So let's sit down and be ready to learn this 7 days. Hallelujah. So we are in a school, the school of salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. So faith is that beginning. That you believe in the Lord Jesus doesn't mean so much, even though it means a lot. You can enter through a door and stop there. Many believers today, they have believed in Jesus. They believed in his name, that he can save them, and they confessed him as their Lord and Savior. They came into the experience of the new birth, and that was all for them. And many have stayed there for about 50 years, for some 10 years, for some 25 years. And all they do, they wake up every morning, they do religion, and they wait for one day when Jesus will appear in the sky and he will take them away. I say to you clearly tonight, if he does not appear in your heart, you cannot see him when he will appear. Because that appearance is not one event. It's not an event. It's something that is meant to happen to us. That you become born again is an enlistment. When we say life campaign, it is the word campaign. Open your dictionary and check it. The word campaign really has nothing to do with politics. Rather, it has so much to do with military strategy. The word campaign is a military term in which you set your agenda. You set out your war strategies and stratagems. God has set out a strategy to recover man. Not only to recover man, to give man the very life that he himself has and that he enjoys. And so he laid out a strategy by saying the first thing is come. He calls, come. And then when you hear that call, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? So it is not the day you say, Lord, I gave you my life that you called. That may be the first day you called on his name, but you have to keep calling on that name. You have to keep believing. You have to keep believing because he has many things to show you. Like that prophecy said, doctrine, deal. Now, the day of God has its doctrine. And you can't come into the doctrine or the teaching or the enlightenment about the day of God if you have not gone through other doctrines. So that you are born again is very good. It has given you just the power to see the kingdom. That's all. John 3:3. Every thought will be established in the scripture. Except a man be born again, what will happen? He cannot see. He cannot see. You can see the kingdom. Is that you are born again. You are given enablement to be able to see the kingdom. It doesn't mean you automatically see the kingdom when you are born again. What being born again or new birth is meant to do in the life of a man is to awaken in him the capacity to see the kingdom of God or to see the life of God or to see everlasting life. If you now see it, what happens next in the next two verses, verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. It is one thing to see. It is another thing to enter. What God is saying to us in the days we are is that it's time to drop religion. It's time to enter. You cannot enter. They have to give you entrance. We have to understand the essence of being saved. We are not saved for ourselves. Man, like that is taught us over the teachings in the whole of month of February, man can use anything. Man can use God. And man has been using God. And you are one of the people who has been using God. All you think about God is one man up there who does his own thing, and you do your own thing, and when you need intervention, then you call upon him. Do this for me, oh God. Do this one, do that one, do that one, do that one, and this one and that one. That is all you have about God. And that is why we have so many prayer mountains. What are you doing on prayer mountain? Tell me exactly, what are you doing on prayer mountain? For those of you who have gone to prayer mountains, except you have gone there to say, I want to connect to the Lord more. But you have gone there to solve an issue. God is not an issue solver. God is a savior. We have insulted God enough by poking at his face our problems, which are no problems at all. Because somebody has done an evil work in us. He said that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened, that they might know what is the hope of his calling. How many times have you ever sat down to say, God, why did you save me? But you bombard him with your hope of coming. He has his hope of calling, which is you come to me words, but you are pushing to him the hope of your coming. It means you already have your agenda. You have your paper written already. You have your file to come to God and say, when am I entering? Is it my turn to enter, secretary, angel? Okay, I'm entering now. Okay. So, God, thank you very much for seeing me. We don't want to waste time. They said you don't need to, you don't like wasting time. So, okay, I'll go straight to the point. You see, the truth is this. Man must arrive. Man must arrive. You see, in the world that I am, there are things that count in that world. And I must matter in that world. There are yardsticks of measurement of who are men. And I must be one of them. I must not just be there and be somebody clapping for those who are doing it. And God says, okay, can you let me know what you have? You see, I want to be like my mates. I want to be a man indeed. How can I say I'm a man? I don't have money. It is money that makes a man. No, I tell you, no man. No, sir. Money does not make a man. God makes a man. Come, let us make man in our own image and likeness. Money does not make you. And let me tell you, money will fail. You better prepare for it. Money will fail. In the book of Genesis, it said, and money faileth. Money faileth. Money will fail. You don't know. Money will fail. The days are here. You need to know what makes a man. Only God makes a man. His image and his likeness is what makes a man. So when you list your agenda, and then God will bring out his note and say, but I have looked at all these things. It's not in what I even called you for. And you say you are serving. Oh, when did you get born again? Say, I got born again 30 years ago. You are saying that with all boldness. And you should be ashamed. 30 years ago. So all you can see of me in 30 years is that I should provide bread for you, put food on your table. Even those who don't know me, they have much more. So can you reason it? Is that the reason I came to die on the cross? So I tell you, any blessing you can hold, any blessing you can see, any blessing you can touch is no blessing. True blessings are not seen. Daddy told us, many believers don't like Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So all spiritual blessings are in the heavenly places. Heavenly places are inside Christ Jesus. That is what he was telling us. The fullness of the blessings of Christ in the gospel. Gospel is the blessing. Hallelujah. So that is what God has called us unto. So I'm saying to us tonight that we need to get our bearings right. Who was teaching us the other day? Pastor Alfred, and was using the analogy of a gyroscope. That was what was coming to my mind. Two wheels, two circular wheels intertwined, and it's moving in such a way that as if it's tilting, yet it's very balanced. It's picking its axis very perfectly, and it's rotating like that. We must find our balance. God is the balance. When you don't have God, you are out of place. And it occurred to me, sir, while we were eating that fish, and you made reference to it, the moment you made reference to it again, it occurred to me, I have to go and check again. What is that organ that gives man balance in his mind? It's the vestibular, right? Where is it located? The three semicircular canals. These are the three semicircular canals that gives us balance. The mystery of Christ, the mystery of the Father, and the mystery of God. When you don't have information about that, you can't be balanced. Nothing can be balanced about you at all. Nothing, I say, nothing can be balanced. The book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles, Daddy read that scripture during prayer meeting, and something exploded in my heart. Can we check that scripture, 7:14? You know, it's only when we want to pray for Nigeria that we read that scripture. It is only when we say there is a sin in the land. It's good, let's keep reading it. But let's read it again. Can we see it together? If my people, can you say my people? If Satan's people, right? If Ogun's people, if unbelievers, whose people? If my people, he did for you to have no shadow of doubt. He qualified it again. If my people, who are what? Which are called by my name. You are not called by his name if you don't even come into the awareness of Christ. If you have not come into the faith of the Son, there is something called faith towards the Lord, and there is something called faith of the Son. That faith, what we know of faith, is what we used to get. Faith to many of us is an anchor that we used to hook things and draw it. You hook it, you draw it. Everything is about you. No, faith is Christocentric. It has nothing to do with you. Faith is a tool of living. Faith is breath. Faith is air. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So faith is never a tool to get. Faith is even a tool to refuse. How many things have you refused by faith? You have got everything by faith. You got your car by faith. You got your house by faith. You got your children by faith. You got everything by faith. How many things have you refused by faith? Like Moses. By faith, Moses refused to be called identity. A lot of things you want to be. Oh, you need to go and listen to midweek service, January 19, where God's servants open the world and they come to the world. You will now know that you have been guilty of using God to get many things. Hallelujah. Faith is a tool of living, to live the life that the divinity has. The life they came to give to man. He said, for the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How many things? Three things. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come. But I am come. That they may have what? And have it. And so three things also to have life. It's not enough to have life. You need to have more life. It's not enough to have more life. You need to have abundant life. Hallelujah. So when we say things like this, you wonder, who are these people? Why are they talking? Are you saying that we cannot ask God for our needs? Yes, you must not ask him, because he has given a formula. One day I was preaching in church, sometimes around 1997, and he said, and I was just talking, and I said, if I ever get married and I don't have a child, I will never, emphasis on never, I will never pray about it. I will never say, God, seeing I go childless, give me a child. I will never. And all the elderly women shouted in Ondo language, "Mayor," which means God forbid, which means abomination. I don't blame them. It is what they have been trained with. It's the kind of a light they have been exposed to. Do you know that the light in the beginning actually has darkness inside it until God separated it? What you call light is actually a darkness. God needs to bring separation. It will interest you to even know that that day also comprises evening and morning. Evening is not really night, but it's a shadow. So we need to shake up some of the things we have believed. Why should you be praying that God should give you a child? Have you asked him? I used to tell people, the first thing you should ask God, if you become conscious that you want to marry, is that, God, should I marry? Not who should I marry? That's the second question. Who do you want me to marry? If you say, yes, I want you to marry. Okay, who? It's not compulsory you marry. This morning, my mother was praying for me because we have been on strike. And she said, she prayed the prayer, but today it just struck me in a way. She said, God will take your rights for you from the government. I said, Tommy, Osilowo Ijoba, alone let Tommy. Eternal life, let Tommy. Life everlasting, let Tommy. All this, pay along, bet Tommy for me. Go, come, my son. Let them not pay the salary. Let them not do anything. That's not my thought. I have never thought about it like that. It just struck me this morning. That is not my right. That is not what I should be singing solidarity for. I should be solidarizing for eternal life. I can have eternal life. Sir, you remember those days in year 2000. We will say to ourselves, when you go to St. Joseph to do thinking service, and I'll be waiting for you in the Holy Ghost Center. And when you are coming back, you will come to share with me what the Lord has said to you. And we got to a point that we said 10 years after, we will look back and we will say, it couldn't have been better. And then we will stand and say, if this will not come, if this will not come, if this will not come, we are not a failure. But we are a failure if we don't fulfill the reason for which we are created. We didn't even know the reason. But there was a, hey, the way the heart was so stuck to it. Many of us can't live without some things. It is wrong. Your mind has not been treated. The standards of the world are not God's standards. So he said, if my people who are called by my name. You are not called by his name if you are not coming to the awareness of his faith, living his life. He said, if they shall humble themselves and do what? And pray and seek my face and do what? Turn from their wicked ways. So there are many wicked ways in us that will not allow us, that will not lead us into the day of God. They will rather lead us away from God. He said, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. You see, this healing of land is not the healing of Nigeria. We can pray for Nigeria, no problem. But this is the healing of your heart. Your sins need to be forgiven. Forgiveness of sin is not God, I pray, forgive. Forgiveness of sin is a preaching. Forgiveness of sin is a message. Do you agree with me? It's a message. You remember Acts 26:18? To preach, to open their eyes, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. So you can't, this sin is not the sin of your life, because that cannot be connected with inheritance. There are a lot of sins that will not allow us to access inheritance, and that sin is darkness. Darkness is that sin. So he said that we may receive. So the commission of Paul, which is the commission of the New Testament minister, is to open the eyes of believers. It's not to put food on their table. You are not the one that will put food on their table. The world will put food on their table. And if there is no food on their table, the food can be on another person's table. As long as you eat, you'll be okay. But you see, Satan has blinded the church. Go and check out churches. Go and check out ministries and theme of meetings. My hour of victory has come. It is my time to shine. What are you shining? To shine what? What do you want to shine? Oh Lord, let my... I don't know those things, and I must not know them. They must not be your Bible. You know what I'm talking about. How many times have you seen people do a meeting and you say that I may know the Lord? It's scarce. It's very scarce. It's very scarce. It means that there is a colossal covering of darkness over the church. And that's why we say, essence of life campaign is to make believers see that mystery of the divine life in the believer, to make them see it. That is the whole job, these 7 days. God wants to open eyes through his seasoned minister. Don't say, who are they? Are we not preaching together? No, we are not preaching together. For this cause, to arrest these people, he had to go to the highest height, and he went to the deepest depth, and he took them captive. He showed them something he has not shown to everyone. Otherwise, everyone will be preaching it. Hallelujah. So there are servants of God whom he has handpicked. Like Pastor Dixon said, for a purpose, he has handpicked them to bring us into an understanding. There is an understanding that runs God's mind, just like there is an understanding that runs this world. Every child that is born, the parents want the child to do well. Oh, my child is in primary 5. Oh, good. You can now go to secondary school. You even jump primary 6 because you are in a haste. You are in a hurry. Or you don't know that you are running a race of death. The world is running to second death. The world is running to a place where they will perish. What does it mean to perish? Like pastors told us, to perish is to simply become irrelevant. Go and check homes around. How many homes do you find typewriter? Is typewriter not good to type a letter? It's even wonderful to punch the keys. But because of a new light of another day or another civilization, that one became obsolete. There are still brand new typewriters where they are. IBM, they are still there. They even made electronic typewriters. But in the days of laptop, what do you need a typewriter for? It became irrelevant. It has perished. It has perished. I remember those days of photography. We would buy film, Kodak film, Fuji film. In fact, there's a building in Lagos, a massive building, Fuji House. They designed the building like a film of a camera. And then we will line up inside the sun, begging them to help us wash our negative. You collect the negative, you go for hours before you can print picture. You don't even know what you are taking. You just trust that when they take it into the dark room, it will come out like, how many people used Kodak film? When last did you buy a film for your camera? People in the video unit, you snap so many pictures and so many, you can't try that in the days of film. You will have burned money, but now you take a film, you can even put it on burst shot. That one snap, it takes 20 shots at the same time. So film of a camera became obsolete. It perished. It's still standing, it's still there, but it has become irrelevant. May we not become irrelevant. So to perish is to become irrelevant. And so it's saying that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn, you can't turn, they have to turn you. It is when you seek his face that you will see the need to turn from your wicked ways. Let's see Isaiah 55 verse 1. It says, "Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money," he that does what? "Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk." Without what? Without money and without price. It means that it's not the physical money you use to purchase this. But it simply means you must buy into this thing. It's not money we use to buy, but you have to buy without price. Verse 2 says, "Wherefore do you do what? Spend money for that which is not bread." How many things do we use God for that is not the true bread? Jesus said, "I am the true bread." When you say true, it means eternal. "I am the living bread." It means everlasting. He is the real bread. He said, "But we have been spending money for that which is not bread." Is it not interesting? People use money to buy what is not the true bread. But he's calling you to come and buy the true bread without money. But to take you something, you need to commit to it. Hallelujah. "Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good." What is good? Christ is what is good. Hallelujah. "And let your soul delight itself in what?" Now, what are you going to use to buy? You are going to use your ear to buy. It's not money, it is ear. You know, say, "Incline your ear and come unto me." Hear. Can you say hear? "And your soul shall do what?" So what is of concern to God is that your soul lives. If your soul does not live, your soul cannot abide. The desire of God is that we should live. Is that we should live. I like that hymn so much. "Immortal, invisible," the verse 3. To all life thou givest." Can you say two? If you want to say two, do you do like this? When you say two, what do? It means it's extending forward. It goes out of him. It's not part of him. He can bring it out of him and it can disappear. To all life, thou givest to both great and small. But look at this. In all life, thou livest. That is the life within. The true life. So, you see, the life that God gives is not the true life. You will say, what is he saying now? Hebrews said it. Hebrews 1:11. "Hey, these things have my hands made. I'm the one who made them. You didn't force me to make them. I made them. I, God, made them. But they will perish." They will perish. He said, "But thou, O Lord, remainest." Remain. "And your years will not fail." Heaven and earth will fail. Anything you call this world will perish. He said, "But thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment." Even the things God himself created, he said they will perish. How much more the things he didn't create? They will be. He said, "In all life thou livest." You are the true life, meaning you are the true definition of life. What do you call life? Many people define life from Abraham Maslow hierarchical theory of needs. Man needs water, food, shelter. He moves to so many kinds of needs. And on the top of it is sitting the devil. Self-esteem or self-actualization. That is the dream of every man. God wants to crush that dream. Because that dream is darkness that is designing a life. A life has been designed. You see, this world we are living in is a lie. Do you agree with me? Everything in the world is a lie. It's framed, just like God framed Revelation. He signified it. Satan is also signifying this world. He designed it. And he paints a picture for a man. And man thinks that this is life. That is why somebody can say, he has traveled to the end of the world and say, God will take me to the end of the world. And then you have gone around the world by traveling and you are saying God has taken you to the end of the world. How about people whose job is to work in every country of the world? They travel and travel. They practically live in the air. And it's not by God. They don't know God. You are not even better than them. So all you can see of God is that he will take you to the ends of the world because you travel to France and Paris and the whole of Europe. No, that something is wrong. Let's look at it critically. This is not what God meant for man. How we have seen God, how we have constructed God is not who he is. So he said in that Isaiah, incline your ear and come unto me. To do what? So you may come, you may not hear. But you need to come to hear and your soul shall live. And what will I do with you? I will now make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure. When you say sure, it is sure. It is the word of the oath. It cannot be broken. That is eternal. So it is the everlasting covenant that will bring God into God's eternal realm. That God's eternal realm is actually the day of God. But you see, we don't know that day. But God is announcing that day to us. And showing us that this is the time. It's not interesting to see in the Bible. The Bible talks about years. The Bible talks about days. The Bible talks about weeks. The Bible even talks about hour. And they don't really mean those things literally. For instance, they said to Jacob, fulfill her week. Fulfill her week. You would think it's 7 days. What did it translate to physically? 7 years. Even the 70 weeks of Daniel. How many years did it translate into? 490 years. So it means that when God says day, hour, minute, year, they are significant in the spirit. So when we say the day of God is the day he wants to usher us into his very life. Can you say very life? You know, said, go, if you just go down for the want of time, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. It means a time is going to come. You will seek, you will not find. So it is time bound. And that is why what we are doing right now is what we should be doing. Call upon him while he is near. A time is going to come, he's going to move from where he is. He will move away. That he told us, what makes heaven heaven is because God is there. The day God leaves heaven and is going to leave the place. How do I know? He said, I saw a new Jerusalem descending out of heaven. We thought heaven is the ultimate, but he said he's descending out of heaven from God. In all life thou livest. That means anything that God does not give birth to cannot last forever. So he didn't give birth to heaven and the earth. He made them. Whatever he does with his hand will not stay. It is only what he lightens with his face or what he bats for that we stay. So he said, call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked. Who is the wicked? One man on the street doing one evil thing? No, it is the people. You will now understand wickedness is not what we call wickedness. What is wickedness? Wickedness is simply the composition of our ways and our thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart. So you see, that body of thought that has carved a way for us, God calls it wickedness. It is wickedness. He said, and let him return. Let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. So thoughts and ways constitute wickedness. Meaning that any thought that does not originate from God, any way that does not originate from God is summed up in wickedness or darkness. Darkness. That is what the devil has done to humanity. To frame a, like Mama said, that darkness is also a light in a sense. Because when Adam and Eve ate that food, what happened to them? their eyes were opened into another reality. Amen. So I said here that the dawn of the day, I'm focusing on the dawn now, it is the time of seeking the Lord's face. The time of seeking the Lord's face. The day of God is the day of his face. What did I say? It's the day of his face, where there is no hidden thing, where there is no shadow, where there is no veil. But you see, the dawn is a preparation for that day. And we are in the midst of that preparation. Remember Esther, like you have taught us, sir. Esther was treated for 12 months with all manner of oils, of spices, of myrrh, and sweet odors, and cassia, and all of that, just to appear before the king for one night. 1 year preparation for a woman to just stand before the king. One night. And if, like you said, if anything went wrong in the course of the preparation, when she enters into the courtyard or the room of the king, and the king just, bring another. Call the servant. Bring another. So all 1 year preparation is a waste. Just for one night. Look at Daniel and his colleagues. 3 years they were prepared for one purpose, that they may stand before the king. Just to appear. And the king came and did an inspection. If that day he didn't like them, what happened? 3 years effort wasted. So the dawn is usually longer. The time of preparation is important. God needs to treat the church. God needs to purify us, because that day there is no iota of darkness that we cross into that day. It's a day in which God will wash his church, or the dawn, the time he will wash us so much. Wash us of actually what makes us is our thought, knowledge. Where we pick our thoughts from. Where we fetch life from. What gives us... Many of us are cultural in our serving God. We are cultural. You see, some tribe will say, I am from this tribe, before I'm first of all a Christian. That is something speaking. It's speaking massively. You see our environment, our learning, our academics, our natural attainment. They define life for us. And it's actually a lie. But God is saying, forsake this. So, Mama read that space. I will read it again. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. We are on to you do well. When you do what? When you take heed. We are in the days of taking heed. We need to take heed. How? As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. That dark place is the place of preparation, actually. That dark place is the holy place. It has been said that the length of the holy place is longer than the dimension of the holiest of all. What is God really doing? It's so simple, but it's not simple. He wants to bring us to himself. That where I am, there you may be also. So it takes us from the outer court, brings us into the holy place. So a man begins to live actually when you come into the holy place. And in the holy place, there are things you need to interact with. It's like the dark place before you now pierce the veil to enter into the holiest of all. Hallelujah. Are we here together? God has one thing he wants us to do in the days we are in, to seek his face, not to seek his hands. If that is all you can take here, it will help you a lot. That I am not called to seek God's hand. I am called to seek his face. Say that. I am not called to seek God's hands. I am called to seek. Because his face is what will usher you into his day, into his life, into his domain. This man David said in Psalm 27 verse 8, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. God said, seek my face. There is a resounding response in the heart. We may hear these things and we say, oh, it's good, and we go back. But our heart must connect. Our heart must say, Lord, I will seek your face henceforth. He said, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart replied back. So it's not your mouth that does reply. It's your heart. It's the heart. God must invade that heart. to do a work there that will make you to begin to seek his face and to say, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I will seek no other. Even if this is not there, I will not mind. I will seek no other. Do you know the reason why? God has written the formula. Seek ye first the kingdom. When you are seeking the kingdom, what are you seeking? You are seeking life. You are actually seeking his life. He said, and every other thing shall be what? That is said, every other thing shall be added. Does not mean you will have everything. He said, it will only add to you what you need. Many of us don't like that because we want to have everything. We don't like all things that pertain to life and godliness, but we want everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added. The emphasis is so much on what will be added. Why don't you concentrate so much on seeking the kingdom and the righteousness? Because the kingdom has a righteousness. The kingdom has an order. It's not an orderless kingdom. The kingdom has a way in which you come. He said, those who treat me lightly, I will lightly esteem them. There is a way we seek God. We don't seek him anyhow. We don't seek him at our terms. Have you heard people pray, God, if you don't do it, you will be the one that will be put to shame? No, God will not be put to shame. He doesn't even see you. Let me shock you. The only prayers God hears is the prayers prayed in the holy place. The prayers you pray in Christ with the understanding and the light of Christ is only what he hears. He doesn't hear noise. When you go to the market, do you hear everything going on in the market? But you can know that things are happening. People are talking. Do you pay attention? Who do you face? The person you are going to deal with. The person you need to deal with. Yet, you are in the midst of so many people talking. Some are buying and selling. Some are greeting. Some are fighting. And you don't even know they exist. And you just buy meat, that man, collect the meat, and you go home. And you feel that you have had a good day. And yet, so many things have happened around you. You thought God is like us? No, God doesn't listen to irrelevancies. He's so busy. He's so busy bringing sons into life that he doesn't listen to all the enemy of my father that will not make me prosper. Let them die. He doesn't even see you. You say, you have prayed. You have only it's good. You have exercised yourself. You have sweated. It's good for your physical body. It doesn't go beyond the ceiling. So don't waste time. Don't waste time praying for one enemy. You are the enemy. You are the enemy. You are the enemy. Why? A man's members are his enemy. What are those enemies? 2 Corinthians 10. Imaginations, thoughts, formations. Mama has said it all. Formations. There is an image in you. There is something you want to become. Do you doubt me? Before you came to Eternal Life Embassy, or before you started hearing this word, what were your visions? What were your ambitions? You know what you have drawn for yourself. You have chartered it. That's why you used to run to Lagos. That's why you never say Nondo. Somebody said, I was born in Nondo. I schooled in Nondo. I will now marry and say Nondo. Say, God forbid. I said, what is wrong with you? What if that is where God wants to stay? You see, it's a problem. It's a great sickness that a man will begin to look at things from his own little mind. We can't comprehend God's thought. At the time, I said to myself, I will stay where God wants me to stay. This Nondo. And the whole world will come to this Ondo. Go and run away to Lagos. You will soon come back. We are waiting for you. We are preparing lands for you. We are preparing things for you. Don't worry. But you can't meet us. When I say meet us, don't get me wrong. Go that maybe we will now come. We will have 10 cars. No. You can't stay with what is important. And somebody goes away to waste his time. And now strolls in. And will now collect inheritance. God is not unjust. God is not unjust. Hallelujah. Let's make progress. I will stop now. Let me just say one thing. Two things that we need to watch out for. Three. They will prevent God's face. You see, these two things I just said, they are the definition of human life. Vanity and what? Let me just read one scripture. Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk 2:13. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire. And do what? And the people shall weary themselves for vanity. It is not of the Lord of hosts. That means it is not the design. Say it is not the design. That people shall labor in the very fire. And people shall weary themselves for very vanity. It will have been nice if people labor in the very fire for eternal life. If people weary themselves for the very true bread that endures to eternal life, it will have been wonderful. Now, you will now know this vanity is now explained in the next verse, verse 14. For the earth shall be filled will the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. How? So that means the answer to vanity is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has done what? Has shown in our hearts to do what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus. That's why we must seek faith. So when you are a faith seeker, what are you seeking? You are seeking knowledge. I like the words used there. You look at the word field. You look at the word cover. Very strategic word. Field. How does something get filled? You pour water in a place and then it goes silently and fills. It's talking about an invasive work. And then what will happen? It will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as how the waters cover. When you see something covers, it's usually something you don't have input in. It's something that comes by itself, that comes aggressively. He said, darkness shall cover. It's not darkness will fill the earth. Darkness shall cover. But you see, what God wants to do is that He wants to set us on the path of His knowledge. The knowledge of His glory. That as we begin to learn it, suddenly the whole earth gets covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. I'm saying to us tonight, let's refuse the devil's construct. Let's refuse the devil's design, because this design is a lie. And the devil will now further make it look like you are doing well when you are not actually doing well. How do I know? Things are going well with you. You are getting promoted in your job. You are having cars, you are having houses and all of that. But that doesn't remove the fact that the whole system is a lie. You see, a clock that is dead, the fact that it is correct twice a day does not remove the fact that it is still a dead clock. Even though it is correct twice a day, it is still dead. That things are looking fine, that things are okay naturally, does not mean it is well. It is not well, oh. We say it is well a lot. If you want to know a Christian, just go and be. It is well. It is not well. It is not well when the Lord has not said it is well. When will He say it is well? It was said of Jesus, He has done all things excellently well. How? Meaning He has pleased the Lord. What God wants to do in these 7 days is to bring us back to His ways, that we can begin to walk in all pleasing. What do you want in life that God cannot give you? He said they just preach. They don't pray for people. They don't pray for sick. Let me tell you, if you hear this word for 7 days, sickness will run away. Because even sickness is a construct. What is problem? What you call problem is a problem because you define it as a problem. To somebody, it's not a problem. Have you heard the story of two people went to pray in church? Somebody was praying, God, give me 10,000. Give me 10,000. And a rich man came there to ask God for 10 million. And it's the one that has 10,000 needs making so much noise. And the rich man said, pray to God silently. Say, you know my problem. What's your problem? Don't bother God with 10,000. Take 10,000. Go, let me have time to pray to God. That, it is what you see that you see. And see, that which you think you see is actually wrong. So in a sense, we are actually wrong. But God is saying, let me show you something. Let me show you a light. Let me show you a life. The one I truly designed. This one is a lie. And I pray these 7 days, the Lord will help us. It will give us that strength of the heart to say, Lord, okay, Lord, okay, can we stop now? Okay, I'm stopping everything. I'm even stopping. I want to listen to you now. I thought what this thing is actually the essence of Christianity, that we may inherit your kingdom. And then have you analyzed that word, Eri? So where is the profit? I mean, where is the real capital? Because you can't have a profit without a capital. So you say, God, let your kingdom be a profit to me. What is the real capital? You see how the devil has twisted things. So you do your own things. At the end of the day, you will perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not what? And that He showed us a good scripture, Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, what is the vision? John 3:16. See it now. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not. So that means, but have what? So if you have everlasting life, you will not. Where there is no vision, the people. What is the vision? Everlasting life. Let's begin to pray this evening and begin to thank God. The Lord will help us this course. Like I said, a lot will be said these 7 days that will jolt us. We'll be wondering, But I've been a Christian for a long time. How come I didn't know this thing? Yeah, it's the work of the enemy. We are in the days of light. We are in the days of God's shining. We are in the days in which God is coming to his people. We ask, oh God, all that you have for us will receive. You will bring us into true definition. True definitions. True definitions. The way things really are. The way things really are. The intent you had for man when you made man. You will bring us as you help your servants that you have raised. As they begin to come to open their mouth, they will open their mouth in the simplicity of the gospel. They will open their mouth in the mystery of the gospel of God. They will bring to us an appearance, things that will shift us, that will cause a shift in us, that will be rightly positioned to hear that which God wants us to hear, that will be rightly positioned to begin to see. Not to be like the Gentiles who walk in the vanity of their minds. We don't want to be vain anymore. We want idols to drop. He said, little children, keep yourself from idols. There are things we have set for ourselves. There are things this world has set for us. There are standards, but they are not God's standards. No matter how beautiful they are not God's standards. It is time to learn God's standards. It is time to receive the judgment of the Lord. He said, give the king your judgment. Give the king your judgment. Lord, you will give us judgment. You will give us righteousness. In the name of Jesus. Understanding for everyone. Nobody will be at a loss. Nobody will be at sea. Nobody will say, what are they saying? I don't understand. Every man will understand. Because the entrance of your word gives light. And gives understanding to the simple. We bless you, our Father. Glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Hallelujah. Were you blessed by that? Or it was coming at the speed of light? It was because of Pastor James that the light went off. But it's the son of thunder. And when you have the sons of thunder, it must be sons of fire. So the message came under fire, and you can feel the heat also in the environment, right? It took away the AC. Hallelujah. Don't mind. God still hears your prayers, okay? But you see, what God is moving you to is beyond just about those things you know about yourself. The things you don't know are much more than the things you know. And so in these days, God will take your eyes away from the things you know to the things you don't know. Secrets. The enemy does not attack you in the open. If you come to the open, you will get it. So it takes the battle always to the secrets. Call them secret society. They meet at night. You see all of that? It's about secret. When a party wants to do whatever, they put their meeting where? At the night. It's secrets. So the issues of our life are secrets. But secrets that will handle them will come in these days. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we have a readiness of heart to go into all of this meeting. This today has just been a preparation. Thank you, Mama, for that blessing. Thank you very much, Ma. Mama said it's not saying what we are saying, but you are saying what we are saying is the same thing, but you are saying it in your own way, and we are getting what you are saying because it is the same mind of God that is being painted, that you will arise and you'll be able to shine because your light has come. You know, there's a consciousness that comes to you when you know that your light has come. When your light has come, your day has come. There's an awareness. I believe in these days, awareness will break forth in our hearts. You know, each time I look about Nigerian matter, And I see how seemingly difficult it is to handle Nigeria issues. To man it is difficult, but to God it's not difficult. All that Nigeria needs is awareness. The enemy has subjugated Nigerians so to a point when he's not concerned about evil issues around him. When I say election, I say, what does my vote count? What will my vote do? The enemy plot that. Go and register. So, even if I go and register, what will happen? You see, it's a ploy. I'm only saying, for a nation, the devil can attack like that and keep people at a place where you feel you have nothing to do with your enemy. You see them doing it, you have no answer. It is a ploy of the enemy. But in this season, concerning our salvation, that ploy will be donated. That sense of, I don't know what to do about it, will go away. Because you will come to a sphere of awareness. You will know that your light has come. Thank you, Mama, for that blessing. Give the Lord a hand for Mama. We appreciate you, Mama. Don't mind, by God's grace, tomorrow, the atmosphere will be better than this one. No, we had a meeting for a whole month, and there was no single day that the big gen had problem. A whole month. Just first day of life camping. It's life camping, right? The enemy cannot be at peace and be enjoying himself. No, he can't. They have to rattle. But it's too small. By tomorrow, you'll be asking for cardigan. Okay.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Maryland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.